All right, if you have your Bibles and want to turn with us, if you're able to, we'll be in the book of Philippians chapter number 4. The book of Philippians chapter number 4. Been trying to pray and seek the will of God for the service tonight, and I've had these verses on my heart for several days, ever since Sunday evening, I believe, that the Lord been working in our heart concerning this, and I think it's pretty fitting for the times that we're living in. I try not to preach on occasion or just because things are going on, but there's so much going on to look at and observe in the world, and it ought to be catching our attention as the people of God. And Jesus said these things that we're seeing, He told the disciples when they saw them to look up, for their redemption draweth nigh. And we ought to be looking up. If you're tuned in tonight and either watching or listening and you're not saved, you ought to be considering your soul and realizing that time is drawing to a close, no doubt, in these last days. But I want to read here Philippians chapter 4. I want to read two verses, and that being verses 6 and 7. Paul writing here, of course, to this church at Philippi. And, of course, we were just talking about the Lord coming, the coming of the Lord. And Paul mentions in verse number 5 that the Lord is at hand. And so I believe that gives us good application for where we are and putting these next two verses in context about what the Apostle Paul's dealing with. And so they're very fitting for us. But he says in verse number 6 of Philippians chapter number 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I'm interested tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes and you would pray for me, on be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That's the way Paul addresses this Philippian church and these Philippian people, to be careful for nothing. Now, there's a great contrast drawn here. It's not a comparison, but there is a contrast which emphasizes the differences between someone that is careful or full of care and one that is in that place where they are dwelling in the secret place of prayer and supplication. For he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then he uses that conjunction "and" in verse number 7, which links what he's already said to what he's fixing to say. And so what Paul is saying is that those that are doing this and being in that place of prayer and supplication, in that fellowship and communion and that giving of themselves and of their problems and of their cares and of their troubles unto God, those that are abiding or dwelling in that atmosphere and that place are experiencing the peace of God. That peace, he said, that passeth all understanding. And it is keeping not just their mind, their hearts, where the peace of God in salvation dwells inside the heart. When the Holy Ghost takes up abode, clears us of our guiltiness of sin, washes us, and makes us a new creature, there is a peace, an indwelling of peace inside of the heart of God, inside the heart from God, inside the heart of the people of God. But Paul doesn't just say that it will keep our hearts, this peace of God, but he said it's able to keep our minds through Christ Jesus. And so there is that a place, if you study the Word of God and understand that the mind oftentimes is the place of battles. The mind is often the place of burden. The mind is often the place of affliction and turmoil and tribulation. That even though the heart's at rest with God, the heart's at peace with God, yet there are times that we lay down and our minds are the battlefield, and the battle's raging, and we're worried and wondering about all the things that are going to take place. But Paul says that we can have peace in our minds through Christ Jesus, if we'll in everything. Now he says, be careful for nothing. He uses that word nothing, but then he uses, or you could say it, no thing. Be careful for no thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God. And so there is a place of nothing when it comes to being careful, but there is a place of everything when it comes to letting our request, to giving our cares to God, to do as Peter said to do, when he said we could cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Now this word careful, now he's not talking about not caring. He's not talking about not being a caring person or having compassion. He's not talking about that. But the word careful means to be anxious. It means to worry. It means to be troubled with care. And it always is in reference to things of the world, the temporal things that we fret about, that we worry about, as in this day that we're living in, that many are flocking to the grocery stores because they're careful, they're anxious, they're troubled that there won't be anything there, that people are troubled and careful about the medicine not being there, and all these things. Paul said that we ought to be careful for nothing. We ought not to let our life be consumed with cares. And many of those cares, if you'll be honest with yourself, and I'll be honest with myself, we live in the flesh and we're all apt to get overwhelmed with cares and troubles and worries and get anxious about things. And if you'd be honest with yourself, the majority of the things that we become so careful about, that we get so anxious about, that we worry and bite our fingernails into the quick about, are things we can do nothing to change. And so Paul says, be careful for nothing. And he gives this great contrast about how blessed it is to that one who can come to the place where they just give it all to God. One writer of the song, it's become kind of popular. I don't really like to use that word, but it's sung a lot among our modern day churches today. And the writer said, just bring it all to Him. And that's what we need to do. Just cast all out. Care. Now, if you're going to cast something, that means you're going to have to let it go. You can't hold on to it. That's our trouble in our day. Among our fundamental churches, we come to the altar, people come, the man of God preaches, the Holy Spirit convicts and draws and tries to give help and encouragement, and the people of God leave their seat and come to the altar and try to lay their burden down, to lay their troubles down, to lay their cares down, but then they pick it right back up and carry it right back to their bench with them. You'll never get any help in that place, but if you can just cast all your care, if you can just be careful for nothing, but learn to be in that place where everything in your life is consumed by prayer and supplication and being thankful for what God is doing, but not just what He is doing or has done, but what we have the faith as the people of God, as His children, that He is going to do in the future. So there is this thing of this blessedness of being in that place where we are doing everything by prayer and supplication. And the Apostle Paul says the one that is in that place has the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and it is keeping their hearts and minds. But what about those who are careful? What about those who are anxious? What about those who are worrying, who are troubled, who are burdened down with care? What does the Bible say? If the one that is living in that blessed place of giving everything to God in prayer and supplication, and there's a lot of debate, a lot of study, a lot of writers and commentators have mentioned what they think about supplication. I know in its context and in its translation in the Greek, the word supplicate has to do with very earnestness or begging or beseeching. But I was studying this and come across what one writer wrote, and it sounded really good and really began to speak to my heart in the context of this scripture when Paul is admonishing the Philippian church to be careful for nothing but to give everything by prayer and supplication. One writer wrote that supplicating was that place where we get with God, where inside of us is manifested a deep regret and sorrow for those things that we are anxious about, and we get to the realization that He's God, and that He's our Father, and we're His children, and so we're just it's manifested in us to just give it all to Him. And we ought to. We ought to give it all to Him. But what about that one that can't get to that place? That's where my heart is, and I've thought much about it. God's been working in my heart about those, and I feel like maybe some of you that are tuned in tonight and listening and watching, maybe you're in that place where you're anxious, you're worried, you got so much care, it's burdening you down, it's overwhelming you, and it's going to cost you some things if you don't just give it all to God. The Bible speaks a lot about this worry. Bible speaks a lot about this care, this troubledness, this being careful about the things of the world. Often it is a care for the things of the world. It is a care for temporal things in light of eternity. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things, but we got to put it in its context and in its place. And all the temporal things, what good are they in light of eternity? They won't last forever. So many people get so troubled and they get so overwhelmed by these temporal things, by the cares of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Got a few things on my heart tonight that the Lord's put there about what the Bible says, about what the type of life, what the characteristics, what the shape of the person that's full of care, careful about all these things that they can't control, that really don't matter anyway. What does it do to a person when they become so overwhelmed with care? Well, I want to say, first of all, being careful, being anxious, being worried, being troubled with care will drive your sleep from you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I think it is, as Solomon is writing there and talking about all these things that he's observing. And he says, I observed about those that try to see to the business of the earth. And he said, I see that in them their eyes that have no sleep day or night. I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of people in our world today that's so troubled, that's so overwhelmed with care, that's so burdened down by all the things that's going on and the things that they're going through and the things that they don't even have any power to control, that they can't sleep at night and they can't sleep during the day, and their sleep's been drove from them, and they're a miserable person living a miserable life because they are full of the cares of this world. If you're not careful, that's what it'll do to you. If you're not careful, this care of the world, this troubling, this anxiousness, this worry will creep into you and it'll drive your sleep from you. I want to say the Bible speaks more about worse things, about this being careful, than just driving our sleep away. The Bible speaks about, if you read some of the stories and the instances in the Word of God, it talks like and reads like being full of care, being burdened down with all this worry and trouble about us will disturb the peace at home. I thought about that day when Jesus enters into Mary and Martha's house, and the Bible said that Martha is cumbered about with much serving. She's busy tending. She is so careful. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things." And that word careful that the Lord uses in Luke chapter 10 is the same word that Paul uses here. She's so worried about all that stuff that the Lord Himself said did not matter. For He said Mary had chosen the good part, and it's the one thing that's needful. And we as the people of God get so overwhelmed and so burdened down caring about things that don't really matter, and we're neglecting the one needful thing, and that's to get at His feet, like Paul was talking about, with thanksgiving and prayer and supplication. That's where we need to be. Martha so cumbered about. That word cumbered has many meanings. It means to be distracted. How many people do we see coming in to the house of God? And I mean, it's just on my heart. And I'm trying my best to follow the Lord tonight. I know it's a little different. I mean, I'm here by myself, and it does seem a little different, but I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do and say. And I know there are other preachers, and I'm humbled that you would listen to our broadcast and watch this on the internet and on your phone, or however it is that you access it. But how many of you that are pastoring a local church watch your members come in, and they're so distracted by the things of the world? And the word cumbered don't just mean distracted, but it means over-occupied. We are an over-occupied situation. We are an over-occupied society, an over-occupied a bunch of people just go and go and go until there's nothing left for God. Over-occupied means to be driven about mentally, unstable, just constantly battling things in our mind. And that is what Paul was talking about here. To be careful for nothing, but we can have the peace of God that'll keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And there, as Martha is so careful and cumbered about, the peace in that home begins to be disturbed. And she looks at the Lord and says, "Tell Mary to get up and to come in here and help me. I can't do all this by myself." And it begins to disturb the things in that home and the peace that was there. And how many times is the peace disturbed at our homes and in the house of God because the people are so overwhelmed and burdened with care? They get irritated with others and agitated with others that are just trying their best to get at His feet. Mary wasn't doing anything wrong. And in light of thinking about it, Martha had good intentions, but she was just so overwhelmed and so careful that it began to be a stumbling block to her. If we're not careful in our churches, if we're not careful in our homes and in our families, we may have good intentions. We may be going about doing the right things, but if we get so overoccupied, if we get so overworked, if we get so distracted by all of that, that we forget the main thing, it becomes a stumbling block to us. So this being careful for nothing, this being careful will disturb our peace at home. This being careful will drive away our sleep. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The majority of Christian homes today that are trying to live right and trying to do right, one of the greatest problems and obstacles that they face is that mama and daddy are careful. They are overoccupied. They are overdriven. Their mind is going a million miles in a million different directions, and it's become trouble in the home. disturbs the peace. And before long, they get at each other and they're anxious with each other and they're irritated with each other. And not necessarily that one or the other is doing anything wrong, but it's just what happens when we become so overwhelmed with care. Be careful for nothing, Paul says, because it drives away sleep, because it disturbs the peace at home, because this being careful doubts the providence or the supply or the provision of God. The Bible talked about, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall wear, what you'll eat. He said, after all these things do the Gentiles see. And in that context, speaking to the Jewish people, he was saying, in our terminology, the heathens that don't know anything about God, they seek after these things. In one of the other Gospels, Mark's Gospel, I believe it was, he said, after all these things do the nations of the world seek. Look around where we are today. Are they not seeking for all these things? They're so careful about them and troubled about all these temporal things. But Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you, for your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows. God will take care of you. Jesus got to talking about the sparrows, how they don't sow, and they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feedeth them. He said, consider the lilies of the field, take notice of the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cut down and cast in the oven. Consider the lilies of the field, they toil not, neither they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And the Lord said, if he'll take care of the ravens and the sparrows and the lilies and the grass, which really has no soul, and just today is and tomorrow is not, how much more shall he take care of us? No need to care for these things. I remember some weeks ago, sitting in our living room at home, my wife's grandparents several weeks ago experienced a house fire and lost most everything that they had. They'd been staying with us for a couple of nights, and we were all gathered around there in the living room. Some were sitting on the couch, some standing behind it. And I watched her grandfather, after all that they had went through, begin through tears to say, the Lord has took care of us thus far, and he won't fail us now. No doubt there was some anxious nights. No doubt there was some careful nights. No doubt there were nights that they talked about not being able to sleep in their mind and just running wild. But in the midst of it all, they had been able to find some peace with God, that peace that passeth all understanding. That's what we can have. There's no need to doubt his supply now. The writer said there's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow, safely this far. Jesus has brought me. There's no need. If he's done what he's done till now, surely the writer said he won't fail me just a few steps from home. Being careful, being overwhelmed with this care will cause us, if we're not careful, to doubt the supply, the provision of God. Then I want to say, and I'm done, if we're not careful, this care, this over-anxiousness, this troubledness by fearing what we have or don't have, it will destroy our fruitfulness according to the Word of God. Jesus spoke in Matthew 13 about that parable that we all know so well about the sower that goes forth to sow. And he speaks about some fell on stony ground, some fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air. And Jesus gave the interpretation of that, that the wicked one, lest they should hear and receive the gospel, it was taken away. Some fell among stony places, it couldn't get any root, it couldn't take up any natural life or sense or stability, and so it withered away. But then he talked about that fell among thorns. And it was able to put down roots. And I don't know but what, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. I thought about maybe that could symbolize a child of God, but yet we're so careful. He talked about the thorns grew along with the seed that was planted and the thorns choked it out. And Jesus himself gave the interpretation about that's those that are so entangled, so wrapped up in the cares of this life. That seed that fell on good ground in the next verse and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100, that same seed that had the same potential to bring forth fruit could not, because it was choked out by the cares of this life. And it's amazing to me that the same word for care in Matthew 13, that parable of the sower, is the same word, the exact same word that Peter uses in 1 Peter 5 and 7 when he says to cast all our care upon him. To try to get rid of those things, to lose that thing that might cause us to be unfruitful. How many times have we seen a people of God that had the capacity, that had the potential, but they could not loose themselves from the cares of this life? You say, is it really that much of a bother? Well, I thought about what Paul said to young Timothy. He said, a good soldier entangleth himself not in the affairs of this life. That is to be wrapped up, to be choked out by the cares of the world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That is to bring forth fruit, to abound to the glory of God. No wonder, considering all these things about that it drives away sleep, that it disturbs the peace at home, that it doubts the providence of God. The word Jesus said, take no thought. That word thought is the same word that's used here in chapter number 4 of Philippians about having care. It's that anxiousness, that troubleness. No wonder, considering all these things, and that it destroys our fruitfulness. No wonder Peter said to cast all our care upon him. I know we're living in a day when it seems like there's a lot to worry about. I know I'm talking to the human side of us now. To our flesh, it seems like there's a lot of things to be anxious about. But deep down on the inside, that inner man, he knows if we can just spend some time in prayer and supplication with God, there's no need to be careful. But we can have that peace that passeth all understanding, and it can keep our hearts and our minds and help us in the days ahead. I don't know who you are or where you are tuning in, but I hope maybe God will use this to encourage you to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God, and that peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds. Even in a troubled day, in the midst of a troubled world, I'm glad there's still peace from God. And we, as the people of God, can experience it. Thank God in these days. Hope it's been a help